This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 9th, episode 1714. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, Horse World, it's Friday.
When I get off of work on Friday.
Everybody's favorite day of the week on Horses in the Morning.
So let the good times roll.
Let the good times roll. I don't care if you're young or old. Get together, let the
good Friday morning. Oh my gosh, are you guys so excited it's Friday?
Yes.
Why? Why has this been a long week?
It has been a long week. I don't know. You know, for us, it's been a long week because this is the first full week back from vacation, I think.
Oh, geez. Well, then you have nowhere to complain. You're still on vacation high. The rest of us people have been working hard. Oh, my God. I think it's because here in Phoenix, it just got hot. I mean, it's just hot. Like, it goes to the point where it doesn't cool down at night. And like, I opened the door this morning. I was like, oh, no, it's still hot out there. And it's 5 a.m. It's supposed to be the cool time. So I've spent the week getting up at 6 and, you know, on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Saturdays and Sundays, I get up at like 6 and go ride real quick. Like, let's get it done. Let's get it done. And I've realized that horse people, there's a reason that we do what we do. You know, like, I've been kind of grumpy and I've had just a kind of tough week. And just sometimes just, you know, I mean, my problems are first world problems, but they're problems nonetheless.
They're still your problems.
They're still my problems, right, exactly. You know, like, I look at myself in the grand scheme of things. I'm like, you know what? Life is not that hard. I'm not, you know, starving to death or anything like that. But then I realize, like, first world problems are still problems on your daily basis. You know, I'm not able to adopt from Ethiopia. I'm struggling with other aspects of my life. And so I get up yesterday morning and I'm tired and it's early and it's kind of sticky and not sticky. It's kind of hot outside, but I'm like, I got to ride. And so I go out and I like, hop on Zeus and I take him out to the arena and I just jump the biggest stuff I can create. And my God, I went back walking to the barn, like feeling like a new woman. There's a reason that we have these horses. There's a reason we do all of this stuff for them, because my gosh, they just make you feel so much darn better. I just felt better. Just had to get that off my chest. Tough week, ride your horse. You have cramps, ride your horse. You have a headache, ride your horse. Your foot hurts, ride your horse. Your husband's making you mad, go ride your horse. Like, just, God, just makes you feel better. Anyway, that's my preacher sister for this morning. Yeah. Happy Friday. What's on today's show?
And all of the auditors cracked up at that one comment in there. We'll just leave it at that.
Yes.
They know what we're talking about.
Women are superheroes. We need horses. Carry on. Jennifer, what's on today's show?
Coming up on today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, we're going to toss our picks into the hat for the biggest race in America that nobody cares about. That's right, the Belmont Stakes.
Watch
and
your
then
mouth.
A retired racehorse project competitor, TJ Relatic, stops by for a chat and most likely a thoroughbred moment or two story. I can't wait for that. And just before Bad Ads takes us on a mad gallop through the muck heap of online salesmanship, we're going to learn about the Duct Tape Festival in Ohio from Ashley Luke. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. I have an announcement to make on the business side before we get started with the Daily Winnies, and that is I will be unavailable from the end of work today until Monday morning. Please do not contact me. I will not return your calls or emails. I don't care what you want. I don't care who you are. Orange is the New Black is out. And oh I will be binge watching.
I didn't realize that.
Well, I will be binge watching the entire weekend, along with several of our listeners who have contacted me this morning. And apparently, we're going to have a chat room going and we're going to be binging. Jennifer's already been warned that she will not get the TV or the couch or should not disturb me in any way.
Except for the Belmont. Except for the Belmont.
Jennifer, the only other thing is, you have to cook because I'm not cooking either. So just there's that.
Oh, snap.
Pizza! Woohoo!
So I just need to make that announcement.
I don't like to watch it all at once. I'm like, it's over.
I can't stop.
I didn't see it.
Ask Jennifer. I once watched it for 24 hours. I think I was up all night.
Oh, my gosh. See, but then it's over. I like to delay the gratification. So I'm super excited, and I need to see the first one because the end of the last
I know. So you're caught up now?
I'm caught up.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
Good.
Because you pressured me, strong-armed me into watching it. And now, Chad and I, we watch some of them
together. Does he watch it?
Like, he watched some of it, and then he's like, this is the unsexiest show I've ever seen in my entire
life. You're watching for sexy women. This is not the show.
he's like, if there was any thought of me getting some tonight, I am totally turned off.
You know what? If he wants sexy, you need to go see Wonder Woman. Then he's got Amazon sexy, but not so much with this show.
This is disgusting. He's like, women are gross. I'm like, yep.
Yeah, when you put them all together with in a situation like that, it's not attractive.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Daily Winnie. All right, my Daily Winnie, we have the coolest listeners ever. My Daily Winnie goes out to auditor Kendra Gale, who posted last night. Jennifer will have to post this. She posted last night that Rocky and her were on their way to Rocky's first driving trial. Now, normally when you think about a woman and her horse going to a driving trial, you would picture a horse trailer, but that's not the case. Because
this is crazy.
Kendra has converted what looks like a very large van of some sort, and has put Rocky, who is her mini, now this isn't an 18-hand horse, but Rocky's a little mini, and she has converted this van to include space for a little stall inside the van behind the driver for Rocky. And Rocky, she has this selfie of her driving with Rocky in the back, just hanging out, eating his hay. And the cart's back there too. If you notice, Jamie, it has Jamie's on. The cart's back there. It looks like a hay bale bag and all the ribbons are hanging up. This is the coolest thing ever.
It's really neat. Really cool. How do you get is that such a pain to put pajamas on a cart? I hate putting my saddle cover on.
I never had pajamas for my cart, so I don't know. I would think it would be a pain. she must have a nice cart for it to have pajamas. But
good luck.
Yeah, good luck, Kendra. That's terrific. That's really cool. What a great picture.
Oh, baby Zara, I love you. My Daily Winnie goes out to Martha Coors. I don't know how to say the Coors. Martha sent me she had an extra shoulders relief girth in her tech room. And she was mentioning it on the auditor's page. And I don't know if I've explained to you guys in a while, Joey, blessed little Joey, who lives in the backyard here. He's owned by Abby. He's a horse that I adopted from the sheriff's department, trained, and now he's this super show horse and he jumps like 4 foot. He's incredible. But Joey has a weird thing that I found out when I was training him. He'd never been started. And so Joey, if you put this girth on and you tighten the girth, which is kind of what you do, like when you start a horse, you just put the girth on and kind of tighten it so nothing slips if they move around. If you tighten the girth with Joey, he passes out. I'm not talking
he's
like
he's always done that, right?
Snoozes.
From the beginning.
Like he literally falls on the ground and is paralyzed until you undo the girth. Like you say your horse is girthy? No, like this is crazy. And I noticed it, like I discovered it like when he was tied up and I'd put the saddle on and he's like tied in the cross to, in the hitching post. It happened. He's on the hitching post and I put the saddle on. I walk in the tech room to get the bridle and I come out and he's laying down with his like head tied up, you know? I'm like, oh my God, that was the first time. I'm like, there's children here. The horse is like laying on the ground like it's dead. And then it has happened. He was a lesson horse for a long time. And so I would be in the arena teaching one lesson. And I'm like, more than once, I think three separate times the children would come running out, Miss Jamie! Joey's dead! Like, okay, hold on, me coming on, loosen the girth. And they go up, you know, you loosen the girth, he pops right up. It's so crazy bizarre. I actually was hoping that maybe we could find somebody to talk to about it, but she sent me a shoulders relief girth, which is a girth that kind of comes down and then swoops kind of backwards. And I guess it's not supposed to hit that nerve. I don't know that much about it, but I've been wanting to try one on him forever since then. So we are going to try it, and I'll let you, like the most severe of issues that a horse could ever have. We're going to see if this girth actually works. And if it does work, we have to get them as sponsors.
Well, they are, actually. They're sponsors of the Dressage Show.
Gosh, how cool.
He's been a sponsor. Now, Justin, who developed those girths, is also a saddle fit expert. So we might be able to have him on to explain what's going on. He'll understand that.
That would be great.
Yeah. Well, see how it works over the weekend and let us know. I'm excited to know how it works, too, for you.
Don't have him on if it doesn't work for Joey. But it's just, I mean, I don't know if this girth will help at all, because it's so ingrained in him now. Like, so how you have to put the saddle on him is you have to put it so super loose that it's just barely touching him. And then you have to walk him around. And he's like 4, 8, 9 now.
What,
so
do you just slowly tighten it up, notch at a time then?
We have to wait for Abby every time she rides, because you like, put the saddle on, take him for a walk. Tighten it up a hole, take him for a walk. And when you do go to walk him, just when it's barely touching him, he's like, I can't walk, I can't do it, and like stumbles everywhere. I should video it. It's crazy. And then all of a sudden he's fine. And so if you go fix your saddle in the arena, like say, oh, my girth is too loose, my pad slipped backwards, you can hop off, fix the pad, and crank it right back up. He's totally fine. So it's just, I think, so much of a mental thing at this point, but it'll be interesting to see if this works.
That'd be a really good test of that, actually.
It's like the best test for this girth ever. But again, I'm not expecting it to completely help, because again, it's so ingrained now. It's like muscle memory for him, like when the girth goes on. So anyway, it should be interesting at least. Maybe if it helps a little bit, it's done its job. So Martha sent me that girth for Joey, and I really appreciate it.
Do you think she's related to the Coors people, the beer people?
No, it's with a K.
Oh.
K-O-E-R-S. Okay. Coors.
I bet you she wishes she was related to beer people.
Yeah.
All right, let's do real quick. Do we have time, Jennifer, before our guest, to do our picks for the Belmont?
Well, sure. I'm going to be busy at that moment, but sure, go for it.
Why don't you do yours first then?
Yes, good call.
So here, Belmont Stakes, okay. We'll just go quickly down the names here.
Well, the post positions came out, and this is what you posted, right? So no, and the one hole, Twisted Tom. Then you got Taprit. Then you got Gormley in the three hole. J-Boy's Echo is in the fourth. By the way, just Bobby Flay must like the horse because he just bought a 25% interest on Wednesday. Number 5 is Hollywood Handsome. Number 6 is Looking at Lee. 7 hole is Irish War Cry. Senior Investment is not on the 8 hole. Number 9, Meantime. Number 10, Multiplier. And number 11, Epicaris. And then number 12, oh my God, he drew the outside again?
Can you believe that? It's like this horse is jinxed.
Patch in the outside hole. Maybe it's good for him. He thinks the whole crowd's just cheering for him because he only sees the right.
Poor guy. It's a little worse place. So, Jennifer, real quick, what are your picks?
I have a group pick. I don't care what order they come home in. And the only reason I picked this group of horses is because I think the race call to the finish will sound really awesome.
Okay.
And I'm picking Hollywood Handsome, Looking at Lee, and Meantime. I just think that's going to make a really cool race call.
Meantime, Looking at Lee.
It's Hollywood Handsome. Yes.
Yeah, you're right. That could make a good call.
And then they'll mess it up, be like, and now we're looking at Handsome. In the meantime, Hollywood is looking at Red Handsome.
poor Larry. Larry. All right. I have, just because of names, this way I pick them, I have Boxed. I'm with Jennifer on Boxing Mine. Irish War Cry, because what a cool, strong name. 2, Senior Investment, because I'm just right there.
Because you're a senior and you need to start investing.
I need to start investing or I'm going to be doing this show with you forever. And then my third is Patch.
My 87-year-old co-host.
We're going to be, I'll be on the rocking chair at the senior home. And I don't know where you'll be. You'll still be in Oklahoma, probably. And we'll be doing this together still. 30 years from now. Patch is who I picked as my number three, just for sentiment. I have to.
I can't believe he got the outside post again.
And, you know, I just read an article earlier in the week that it was so unfortunate that he got the Kentucky Derby, he got the outside post. And in case anybody doesn't know, we're talking about Patch is blind in one eye.
He has no left eye.
Right. He has no left eye. So he can't see out of left. So when he takes off out of the gate, they're heading the direction where he can't see the other horses. So the worst place for him to be is on the outside. And that's where he was at the Kentucky Derby.
I think it's going to be an advantage because he's not in the 20 hole like he was in the Derby.
Well, that's
he's only
true.
In
it
12.
Is a lot closer. Yeah. Yeah. The Derby's always an exception.
What are the freaking odds of that?
I know. And the one horse that you don't want, I really don't want, and it's two times in a row. Oh, well.
That's crazy.
What's yours?
My pick also is I'm going to do the trifecta box. I can't figure out who's going to come in first, but I love Gormley. I watched him win the Santa Anita Derby, and he's just awesome. And he's owned by Jerry and Ann Moss, and he's trained by the same guy that trains Zenyatta, John Sheriffs. And then he's also ridden by my favorite jockey, which is what's his name? Blah, blah, blah. I can't think of it. So we've got him. And then I love Patch. Patch is actually a pick because he actually is bred for this distance. Both his parents were long time runners, so not sprinters. And then I really like Twisted Tom. Twisted Tom is trained by Chad Brown, who
didn't
also
you date
trained
him once. Twisted Tom.
Chad Brown.
No, Twisted Tom.
God, now I can't pick him. My Kentucky boyfriend had that T name. Oh, he was awful.
That's why I said
anyway,
that.
Thanks for that. You'll come
You're
in
welcome.
Last then. Son of a.
Of course, let's be honest, Jamie. Let's be honest. We could probably pick any first name and you've dated him. So
you shut up. Watch your mouth. I've never dated Glenn.
Okay, so there you go. Although we've been together so long, you might as well have.
Twisted Tom, because I think it was named after how twisted that guy was. So there you go. Twisted Tom is my other pick. Chad Brown, the trainer. Is also the one trained cloud computing and really thinks that Twisted Tom has a good shot. And I like Chad Brown. So that's who I'm going to pick. So I've got Gormley, Patch, and Twisted Tom.
Very good.
How's that?
So we'll see how we do on Monday. Let everybody, Jennifer will put a post up on Horses in the Morning where you can make your picks too. Everybody, you can just pick your trifecta boxes. We won't hold you to first, second, and third. Well, just
because Glenn
it.
And I, when we gamble, we can't settle on one thing. No. So we end up just.
We're too indecisive. And we don't have enough money to bet everything. So,
and I don't have the app anymore to bet. So my marriage is safe.
Yes, good, good. Although if the two of us ever get to a blackjack table, we're in trouble. Speaking of thoroughbreds.
Yes, we have our next guest. Our first guest on the line is his name is TJ Retallick, I believe. I'd say good morning, TJ. Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So is it Retallick?
It is Retallick. You got it right.
TJ Retallick, you're an eventer, and you are training a horse for the Retired Racehorse Project this year. Where is your farm? Where do you train out of?
I'm in Connecticut. I'm the only trainer from Connecticut that's actually going to this project.
Really?
Why? That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Actually, when I got accepted, I was based out of a farm in Kentucky. And I just moved home. I grew up in Connecticut. I decided to come home to family, and I came home and I realized that I was actually the only one going.
Wow. Well, it would have been a shorter commute if you still lived in Kentucky.
It's true.
No doubt.
So TJ, tell us about your horse that you are training for the Retired Racehorse Project.
Okay. Well, I've currently got two right now that, I'm just trying to decide which one I want to bring. I bought two thoroughbreds from Iowa back in September. I gave them some time off. In order for them to be eligible for the contest, they couldn't start training until at least the 1st of December of 2016. So I just gave them time off and just watched them. So I've got a 5-year-old mare. Her name is Who Do You Think You Are?
Nice.
She's awesome. I love her. She's great. She is very athletic. Just killer on the cross country. The dressage has taken us a lot of work. But she's finally just kind of grasped it, and she's pretty awesome. I enjoy her. She's got Stormcat in her lines, and she's very, you know, hot, very hot. When you put her out in the paddock, she goes crazy, you know, but she's just a sweet horse, and she's got a really good work ethic. She loves to work. She's a lot of fun.
TJ, is she chestnut mare?
No, she's dark bay.
Okay, good.
But she's a total mare. But I love her. She's a lot of fun. But then I have a chestnut gelding. He's 4. His name is Hotshot Socks. And he's pretty cool. He was actually the easier of the two to start. He's just a very laid-back dude. You know, he's got a really good work ethic. He's very smart. Like, you show him something once, and he remembers it and retains it. And, I mean, he's awesome. He's a lot of fun. So, but he's, after working with him, he's kind of more of a hunter. I'm not. I'm more of an eventer, and I'm a little bit actually kind of big on him to be a hunter. So I haven't really decided on which one I'm going to take. They're both phenomenal horses, and they both excel in, you know, both of the disciplines that they've chosen. So it's a toss-up right now.
Wow. It sounds like you've got a good choice either way.
Yeah, they're phenomenal horses. They are great thoroughbreds. They are just so athletic, and they've chosen their jobs. They know what to do, and I'm just enjoying them right now, just kind of producing them, bringing them to shows, getting them out there.
Who do you think your biggest influence has been in your riding and training?
Oh, gosh, there's been so many. you know, I have a lot of, you know, close friends that I have worked with growing up here in Connecticut. You know, and then I've gone to a lot of clinics and rode with, you know, Denny Emerson and George Morris. And, you know, they've kind of always been idols to me. You know, there's a lot of people out there.
Oh, wait a minute. TJ, you mentioned George Morris, and we always ask, what's the rudest thing he said to you in the clinic?
The most brutally honest.
Yeah, what's the most brutally honest thing he said to you in the clinic?
Well, you know, it wasn't actually something that he said to me. When I went into the clinic before we even started riding, there was a woman that came in on her horse, and she was a little, she wasn't a small lady, and he, of course, had to say something about that. And I, like, the whole time when he said that, it just blew me away. And I was like, heels down, sit up straight, look at how I couldn't make room for error. I was so nervous.
I would be like, you know what? I mean, I'm afraid to ride with him now. I can't even imagine when I was heavier trying to ride with him. Like, oh my gosh, it's so terrifying. I can never do it.
I would not go ride with him now. I couldn't do it. I know I have bad habits, and I'm aware of what they are. And if I went into a ring with George Morris standing there, I'd probably just fall right off of my horse.
I wonder how many people that go to his clinics throw up off the horse before they go in. It has to be 50%.
God, exactly. He's awesome. He's so awesome. All right. Well, we're super excited to kind of follow along with you. And so we've got your horses. You're going to compete them in eventing. Any freestyle action you're going to do?
You know, I've thought about it, and, you know, I just don't know. It depends on who I bring. My gelding, I think he'd be really great, you know, doing some freestyle stuff. My mare, I think she would just be a little space case if we got there. So
this is a tough one. I pick the winners of all the big races, thoroughbred races, by name. So if I'm taking a look at your two names, Who Do You Think You Are and Hotshot Socks, those are pretty good names, both of them. So I'm having a tough time. I was thinking, I'm going to tell you which one to bring by name.
And oh, I love that. I will say, I say to my 4-year-old son all the time, I'm like, who do you think you are?
There you go.
Who do you think you are?
I was kind of leaning like that direction. You know, I really was. Who do you think you are? It's a great name. Was that the race name?
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people change their, you know, show names, what they bring them out to. And why? It's perfect.
Oh, what do you call her? What's her nickname? Jerk?
I call her Fancy.
Oh.
Fancy. All right. Now entering the ring, number 127, TJ Vitalik, riding, who do you think you are? That's how I would announce it. That's how I would say it. Who do you think you are? Good luck, competitor.
That is going to be a great name for the future for announcers. It really is.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I would like to listen to her old races, you know, like the race that she won, you know, listen to the announcer and see what he said.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. Well, TJ, we wish you the best of luck and we'll be following along with you. When is the competition?
Yeah, it's the first weekend of October.
First weekend of October. So you've got a little while longer. You got the summer. It's in Connecticut. It's beautiful. It'll be perfect. You're going to get a lot of training done. Congratulations and good luck.
Thanks so much.
All right. Bye. I got one question for you, Glenn.
Yeah.
One question.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are?
That's a great name. It really is a great name.
Entering the ring.
It is a lovely thing.
Although I think you should bring the other horse.
You do?
If you're going to, like, well, like you're coming in that big arena with all that stuff. Yeah. You want the calm.
You don't want a wacky mare that's just going nuts all over the place.
That place is so crazy busy. You can't imitate that to train him.
I wanted to ask him, I hope Hotshot Socks actually has white socks.
Oh, go to his Facebook page. I think he's got a picture of him posted right on the front. So
yeah, we
got to
check that. Does Hotshot Socks have white socks? And then it would be really funny if he went in with some kind of very like checkerboard boots on or something, you know, for a horse named Hotshot Socks. Has to enter the ring with some fancy socks. That's my thought.
Let's see. I got to find that. I know there's a picture somewhere.
I'm sure he'd do well dressed up in, you know, in fancy socks in dressage. That would go well, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
All right, let's hear from Kentucky Performance Products. And then
For Jen.
Yeah.
I know, but I have a question for Jen. If we have, we don't have time, do we?
We'll do it after the next guest. Okay. And I'm so excited about the next guest. It's right up my alley for a Friday. This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
Did you know that easy keepers and horses on restricted diets are often at risk for vitamin and mineral deficiencies? Most easy keepers are maintained on hay, and some get a few handfuls of grain a day, and most of these horses get little to no green grass. Diets that don't include significant levels of green grass or recommended amounts of fortified concentrates just don't supply enough vitamins and minerals. Many horse folks don't realize that hay alone, even high-quality green hay, is not an adequate source of many vitamins. For example, when grass is cut and dried for hay, the vitamins quickly lose their potency. 70% of the vitamin E found in grass is lost in the first week after it is cut for hay. One way to ensure that your special needs horse is getting all the vitamins and minerals he needs is to add a vitamin and mineral supplement to his diet. A well-balanced supplement will provide the nutrients your horse requires without adding unwanted calories, starches, and sugars. Microphase, made by Kentucky Performance Products, is a vitamin and trace mineral supplement that bridges the gap in your feeding program. With Microphase, your horse receives adequate and balanced vitamin and mineral nutrition without unwanted calories or other ingredients. The minerals in Microphase have been chelated, a process that protects minerals during digestion and increases their absorption in the intestine. Microphase provides vitamins, such as vitamin E, in a natural form, so your horse receives optimal results from this supplement.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com. Well, I have something for you while we're waiting for our next guest to show up from the Duct Tape Festival. That's right. What are the two staples of horse people? Baylor Twine and Duct Tape. Well, they have a whole festival for it, and I'm so excited that she got them on. And Jennifer's working on getting them on right now. But I have this.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Our loser of the week. I had so many choices this week. I chose the teenager who crashed his Ferrari into a horse farm. That's right. He took his Ferrari out for a joyride while he was drunk and appeared to hit a very high rate of speed before he left the road and hit a tree in front of the horse farm. So this was in, let me see where this was. Of course, the website has no way to tell what town it was in.
Before you turn it on.
And every news site has videos now, so I can hardly go there anymore.
It's in Westchester.
Oh,
I don't know where Westchester is.
In Connecticut. So there you go. That kind of fits. 19-year-old in Westchester, Connecticut, driving a Ferrari, drunk, and crashes in. By the way, he and his passenger had to be cut out of the car. And if you see the picture there, does it look like a car?
No.
No, it is completely destroyed. Completely destroyed. It careened off a tree, plowed through a wooden fence, and somersaulted end over end into the pasture. Now, I love the last line here. It says, no horses were harmed during the crash. So there you go. Scared the crap out of them, though. They're probably never look at Ferraris the same again. Now, these two apparently lived and are okay, but only because they were drunk, I'm sure.
What a moron. So I worked for a guy when I worked in Ohio, the guy who owned the fabulous, crazy, huge, monstrous barn had a son, and his son turned 18 while I worked there, and he gave him a Ferrari for his birthday. Ugh. 18 years old.
Why do people do that?
Why would you do that? And I remember him driving up and down the barn driveway. You know, it's a long driveway, and he would literally hit like 90 on the driveway, you know, like a pebbly, rocky driveway. Idiot. That's the day two idiots met. The one who gave his son a Ferrari and the son who's going to drive the Ferrari. Like, oh my gosh, it was the worst idea ever.
It is. It's just a bad idea. You know what else is going on this weekend? I know you're going away, but something else going on this weekend too, and I know this is not where you're going. It's the big weekend of the year for the Appleby Horse Fair, and that's in England, in the UK rather, and what happens at the Appleby Horse Fair every year is you take this little town that of Cumbria that has about 2,500 people, and you add another 40,000 to it, and that's what happens every year in Cumbria. It's the time when 10,000 gypsies and travelers descend on Cumbria for their annual get-together.
Oh my God, it's like the biggest nightmare for those people that live there, isn't it?
500 caravans and traditional horse-drawn bow-top wagons. You know those wagons that they all live in? Well, they show up pulled by the draft horses, or in this case, the gypsy horses, the gypsy drafts. And they take this town and they convert it into this fair every year. Now, it has been raining nonstop, so apparently it is just a muddy mess. The caravans are getting stuck, and it is just a mess. Well, 30,000 people show up, spectators show up to watch this event every year. It's been going on since medieval times, and it was used for primarily the buying and selling of horses. It was the horse market every year where everybody bought and sold to each other the gypsy horses. So it kind of still is for that. And they have one of the big events that happens is there's a river there. And one of the big events that happens, it's called the River Eden, and they do an annual washing of the horses. So they bring all the horses into the river and they actually wash the horses right in the river. So it is interesting. Now they have a huge amount, and I saw pictures of them all arriving and pictures of the grounds and the security and everything. This year, the security is unbelievable because of the attacks in London. They're, they like tripled the security this year. So it'd probably be the safest event to go to this year. And everybody knows kind of how they feel about gypsies over there. So so there's going to be none of them getting out of line either. So it's going to be an interesting event.
I'm going to challenge you saying that this is the safest place to go, because I think there's a safer place to go this weekend.
And that's not to the festival?
Next weekend. No, it's not to that festival. It's to the annual duct tape festival that is happening on the 16th, 17th, and 18th. It's the annual, why don't you explain
it?
I'm
so
it's
excited.
It's in Avon, Ohio.
I am. I'm so excited because, you know, horse people, we live for two things. There's two things that we can't do without. And that, and one of those two things is duct tape. The other is baler twine. And I'm sure there's a baler twine festival somewhere in the world. But we know about the duct tape festival. And it's happening in Ohio, Avon, Ohio. And it's 16th, 17th, and 18th. So next weekend. And we have Ashley here to talk about it. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, guys.
It is so exciting. You know, nobody uses duct tape more than horse people, right? You guys make half your income off of horse people, guaranteed.
That is amazing.
Now, do you work for the duct tape company?
I do. So I'm the product manager for duct tape here at SureTech.
Okay, tell us a little bit about the history of duct tape. When did that amazing product start?
Absolutely. So duct tape was basically first developed, DUCT tape was developed, so back during World War II, and it was nicknamed during that time as duct tape, the D-U-C-K, because of its water-repelling power. So it's kind of like water off a duck's back type deal. So since then, we kind of took that name, that nickname, you know, and branded it for our products, and then that kind of just stuck, you know, as our, you know, duct tape name.
And you're based in, duct tape is based in Avon, Ohio?
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, wow. I didn't know any of this until I saw the article about the festival. And, you know, we're going to talk about what happens at the festival, but I have a question for you. This festival must have been really boring when it was just the gray duct tape, when that's all there was.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it had to be really boring.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, so so originally when it started, it was created back in 2004, and so residents locally in Avon had come to the company and kind of wanted to resurrect their dormant festival of flowers. So we agreed to kind of come on as a title sponsor and kind of rework that into the duct tape festival. So since then, it did, you know, originally start as just gray, but now we have, you know, over the years produced over 250 different colors and prints and licenses.
Well, that certainly helps for the fashion show. One of my favorite
yes,
things, I was looking at pictures. I spent a half an hour down a rabbit hole this morning looking at pictures of the fashion shows in past years. Oh my God, these people get crazy with making outfits out of duct tape.
It is. It is so crazy. Every year we do a fashion show on Saturday on the main stage, and people can come and sign up. It's free to sign up and free to participate, but the costumes are honestly impeccable every year. Sometimes people, you know, take it to the extent of they, you know, match whatever the theme is for the festival. Others come in, you know, these just gorgeous dresses. We also have our Stuck at Prom where, you know, various high schoolers make their dresses and tuxes out of
duct tape. Did you just say you have second prom? Like a prom revisit and people
so,
make prom dresses out of duct tape?
So it's, yeah, well, so it's Stuck at Prom. But yeah, so it's
stuck.
Basically we run a contest where we donate money, like scholarship money, to these kids who make their prom dresses or tuxedos out of duct tape. And they're absolutely incredible.
They are. I mean, I saw
I've
pictures
been doing
of
this
some
for
of them.
Quite a few years now. Yeah. And when I see some of the pictures, I mean, we literally have to zoom in to like double check that it's actually duct tape, because sometimes they just look so realistic, you don't even realize that it's made out of duct tape.
Well, and having the colors certainly does help now. So what, like for the fashion show, does everything you're wearing have to be out of duct tape?
No. So you just basically have to have one main article of clothing, so like a shirt, and then just one accessory, so like a bracelet or a tie, you know, or something of that nature.
Okay, so
no,
my underwear doesn't have to be duct tape.
To participate.
My underwear doesn't.
Oh, yeah,
okay,
no.
Okay.
Just two items.
Because I was picturing a sticky problem there. But, okay, good. I'm glad, I'm glad to hear that. Now, there also is something, and I saw the pictures of this. You have a duct tape parade. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so one of our fan favorites is the parade, which we do on Saturday. And basically the parade starts at Avon High School and then it ends at the festival grounds. But people can expect to see 20 to 25 different unique floats that are all made out of duct tape. And they're all created by local businesses and organizations here, you know, around the Cleveland area. And we have an official duct tape float every year. And for the fifth year in a row, it was created by students at Elyria High School, which is a local high school. They have a visual media class that takes on the task of creating this float, and it took them over 70 hours of planning and over 1,000 rolls of duct tape to create it.
Whoa.
So we never really get to see the full thing before the festival, but I've seen some sketches and some preliminaries, and it's absolutely incredible.
Okay, how come I never had that class? I never had that class.
Right? I know.
Build a duct tape float as part of high school. That's the coolest
right.
thing ever. Can you imagine the how many kids get duct taped to the wall during that? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes on during the making of that float, I'm sure. The behind the scenes of the making of the float would be interesting. Now, they also had last year a 15-foot tall duct tape eagle sculpture.
Yes. So actually, speaking of students who make all these duct tape things, so all of our sculptures are also made by students at the University of Cincinnati. And so they, for the past few years, have made all of our sculptures. And so this year, our theme of the festival is Circus Spectacular. So they've done all sorts of sculptures. One of them is this huge box of popcorn with popcorn coming out of the top that's 10 feet tall. And then they also made one of them that I've seen is a circus train, and it weighs over 300 pounds.
Wow! 300 pounds of duct tape.
Yeah.
You guys must have liked the Mythbusters specials that were all about duct tape. You guys must have loved those.
Yes. Yeah, so we partnered with one of them to do one of the Mythbusters specials. But yeah, that was duct tape. They filmed one of them in Cleveland right over by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yeah.
I think Jennifer's watched those particular episodes about 100 times.
They are great.
I need for duct tape. Yeah.
And they proved that you could actually make a boat out of duct tape and it floats.
We have actually heard a lot of people who do corporate challenge, like around the area in Cleveland, that is sometimes one of their corporate challenges, is that they have to use duct tape to make boats. So yeah, I mean, you can literally use it for all sorts of different crafts and, you know, different applications.
We know there's one thing that can defeat duct tape.
A horse's hoof?
That's right. A horse's hoof with an abscess, especially if the abscess has been there for more than 3 weeks, the horse's hoof can defeat duct tape.
That's true. That is
true.
You would,
I think we'll concede to that.
Think the duct tape company would really be grossed out by some of the things horse people do with duct tape. I think they would go, oh, that's not really what we intended it for, but okay.
I don't think it was ever designed to be a horseshoe. No.
I have a special announcement to make. while you guys have been talking, I have been online searching. And I have found, now this is the Duct Tape Festival is happening next weekend, and it's in Avon, Ohio. It's the 16th, 17th, and 18th. And I would like to make an announcement that on September 16th, the 51st annual Baling Twine Festival is happening.
Really? And oh, they have you guys beat.
In Ontario, Canada, in the city of Vaughan in Kleinburg, the unincorporated village. There's a tiny little village in Vaughan, Ontario, and they are having the Baling Twine Festival. So I would like to see if somehow you guys could marry the two festivals and somehow put on like the ultimate horse person's festival with duct tape and baling twine. I mean, it's thing, people.
All right, we got it. You know who's best to do that, and we'll work with you guys on this. We are best to do that. Who better than the Horse Radio Network to put on the duct tape and baler twine festival?
well, we'll talk to her off the air. We'll
okay,
talk to Ashley
right.
off the air. But Ashley, this is hilarious. I'm so happy that it's taken off as well as it has. I know Glenn was so excited.
I want to go. It's on my bucket list to go. To Avon, Ohio. Sounds pretty too. But, and the food's probably good. And they have whole concerts and everything. Do they have to play duct tape instruments or
what happens?
No, they don't. Okay. Regular instruments. Okay. Totally regular instruments. Okay,
good. I pictured the drums made out of duct tape. That's what I pictured.
Normal instruments.
Okay. Where can people find out more?
So they can go to duckbrand.com, and there is a whole page dedicated to the festival where they can go and get the exact times if they're looking for, you know, exact information on the parade or, you know, the fashion show. Also, it will list, you know, all the different acts that we have playing music. We have a beer tent where there'll also be music played there and then on the main stage as well. So there's literally something for everybody to do. It's free admission, free parking. We'll have fantastic food and games there as well.
Well, Ashley, I do want to tell you that as horse people, I don't know if you have horses or not or anything like that, but as horse people, you do not buy duct tape unless you see the duck brand name on it, because they're cheap imitations and then there's good stuff. And you just can't buy
it. It is true. It is true. We're not just saying that because you're on. It's true.
You don't buy the same.
Yeah, you cannot buy the crappy cheap brands because they just don't work for horse people. Are tough on our duct tape. So
that's good. Yeah.
We repair our horse trailers with it, our horses with it, and every piece of equipment that we've ever used with it. I think there are more manure forks covered in duct tape in this country than probably any other tool or implement. So you can be proud of that. Saving manure forks around the world.
It's going to be our new tagline for the festival next year.
We can help you with your marketing if you'd like. We can help you with that. Thank you, Ashley.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
She's never coming back.
They should advertise.
They really should.
Totally who should advertise.
They should be a big advertiser. By the way, I really like the Duct Tape and Baylor Twine Festival. We need to combine that with one of the expos. And who'd be better to run that than us?
Than you. Don't put us in that. Don't put us in that.
Yours, your idea. So I'm putting you in it. All right. Let's take a break for Ovation. And then we're going to come back. You have a training question for Jennifer. And then we're going to get to really bad ads. Right?
Advice.
Oh,
I have advice. Yes.
It's not about children, right? Because she's not so good at that.
No, it's not about children.
Good,
no way.
You want your child to live another day. So we'll be right back.
People know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. ovationriding.com.
You make me believe that I can do anything. And
That's Stephanie Quayle. You can find all of her music at stephaniequayle.com. Well, we are Horses in the Morning, and we're glad you're joining us on this Friday morning. All of the other shows in the Horse Radio Network are coming out. Don't forget, the easiest way to listen is our app, iOS or Android. Just download it. It's free, and it's easy to use. Just search for Horse Radio Network. Horses in the Morning is one of the shows on there. I also wanted Sorry?
It is brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. And every time I hear that commercial that I read about the chelated minerals, I like want to go get Microphase. So I'm online shopping right
there
now.
There you go.
I sold myself on a commercial.
Yeah, and it only took her about 85 takes to do that commercial with all the big words. I just wanted to also mention, I had a couple of emails about this week. We redesigned the Horses in the Morning website. So it matches now the Horse Radio Network website, and all the shows' websites are going to be with that theme here, hopefully. I'll get those done in the next couple of months. So one of the questions people had, we used to have a listen button and on there, and they used to some people used to download the episodes that way onto their phones, and that listen button's not there anymore. It's because the player that's on the website for every episode that we do across all the shows has a little download button right on it. So if you'll see the player, there's a little cloud with an arrow pointing down on it. That's the download button. So just click that and the sound file will download. So that's how you do it. All right. I just wanted to clarify that for the people that were asking.
No, that's good. That's good. Good to know.
All right. What do you got for Jennifer?
It was not that big a deal. I just was curious, and maybe nobody wants to hear my competition woes or questions, but maybe this is something that everybody goes through. It's kind of about knowing when to move up a level. So my kind of life goal is to take a Mustang novice level eventing. That's a 3-foot fence. You know, it's pretty solid, and it's a Mustang. So it's been a life goal. Well, I just did a beginner novice horse trial with Zeus, and we show jumped all winter long, just working on our show jumping and the cross country and doing some derbies and stuff like that. So when I went to the horse trial, as much as I want to move up to novice in this, I'm competing again. I think it's like the July 8th. It's a competition up in Flagstaff again. They only have 3 up there all year. And so this is like the second one. And so it's the weekend of the 8th and 9th of July. And I'm just struggling with what division to take him in, because this is probably one of the last competitions. If I do anything else, it'll be late fall, because it's the only one here in Arizona. So my question is, like, do I move him up to novice or do I do another beginner novice? And how I kind of decide on how I typically move up horses is how they were in each phase. In dressage, he was tense in the dressage test. He warmed up great and the footing was pretty terrible in there. So I can't blame him. His dressage is fine, beginner, novice, or novice. There's not that much difference in the tests. I feel like we'll be fine in novice. Show jumping, he can get a little strong. He just needs fitness. But he show jumped actually quite perfect. Warmed up like a monster. Like, he was horrible in warm-up, charging fences and blasting. And then I take him out there by himself, and he was great, because I think it was just too much tension with all the, and the warm-ups are crazy. And then for cross-country, I couldn't slow him down. He was an absolute runaway. I mean, like, charging to fences, and it's, he has no thought of stopping or running out. Like, he's like, which one you want me to jump? Okay, how fast can we get there? Zeus tends to jump in the style of, like, I'm going to run really fast at it and fling myself over it, as opposed to get up to it nicely and use my butt and push myself up over the jump. So on cross country, that's not my favorite way for a horse to jump.
You could
sell this
horse today for $10,000 as a fox hunter.
Oh, I could. He's super fancy. He brings some money real quick, for sure. I bet he's not going anywhere. When you sell something you love,
he's
all
in
you
the
try
wrong
to do
job.
Is replace
That's
it.
What fox hunters do. Run like crazy and jump over fences. He's in the wrong job.
Well, I love him. And so my question is, I think moving up to a 3-foot fence is no problem. And sometimes on cross country, when they are running like that, this is where my question comes in. When they're kind of galloping at fences like that, they need a bigger fence to kind of set them back a little bit. Like he's like, no big deal. And some of them were pretty substantial on cross country, you know, with some technical more questions where like they're jumping down a hill or jumping up a hill after a long gallop or kind of, you know, 4 strides to another fence. So those were kind of out of control. But I also only used just a very happy little full cheek snaffle on them. And I do have a bit that has a minorly a little bit of leverage. So I think I could get him back with another bit. But do you think he needs to move up to novice and have a little bit bigger offense, or would you keep him a beginner novice? Keep in mind, this is not a sale horse. I know he was supposed to be, but he's not going anywhere. So I'm in, he's my horse. I'm not trying to prove anything and I'm not trying to hurry. And I would like at least a good beginner novice, but I also really want to go novice. Jennifer, what do I do? Was that too much? Did I talk too much about that? I'm boring you guys.
I think you should completely skip novice and go straight to the training level, long format, 3-day event so you can do steeplechase.
Yeah, that's probably good.
No.
Sound advice. Thank you.
I have a question before she answers. I have one question. Does it affect, the one thing you didn't talk about was dressage. Does the dressage test get more difficult or is it the same?
It's the same. Okay. I did talk about it. You were just not listening. No, it's...
You heard before dressage tuned out.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's fairly the same. I mean, okay, you can earn a different spot, but he's got the dressage. Okay. He could do training level dressage for all, you know, that's not a problem.
Okay.
Jennifer, what do I do?
Okay. Have you ever schooled him at novice?
No,
but cross country.
No, but we're going up to school in like 2 weeks. So I will have schooled before the horse trial, but the closing date will have happened. So I have to enter before I school.
Okay, that was the first question. How long has Zeus been domesticated?
He's been domesticated about a year. I've been riding him for a year and okay, year so and 2 months.
So if you were to put that into domesticated horse terms, he's 4-year-old or a 5-year-old.
Yes, I'll go with that.
Right. Brain
he had prison training, but I'm not going to count that.
Yeah, that doesn't count. that really doesn't count in this instance. So if I had a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old that I thought to myself, this horse is going to be the rock star of my life, I would be saying to myself to toss my own ambitions in the garbage can and give the horse more experience at the lower level.
Wow.
That's not the answer you wanted to hear. Oh, well.
No, I was kind of open. That's why I ask you, because you're right. You're exactly right. I need to get more. He needs more experience at it, but man, I just want to move him up. I don't want everybody to be like, you're going beginner novice again. I can't believe it. In my chat, like, we're not going to California for beginner novice. It's just not going to happen. So maybe I do this
peer
one.
Peer pressure.
It's all
what's
husband.
Good for Zeus. Yeah. Peer pressure.
Okay.
Yeah. Tell him to stay home with the kids. Leave me home.
True. Stay home. I'll be back on Sunday night. Wouldn't that be cool?
There's so many things that you go, well, I think this is that, and I'm pretty sure this is this. He's just got so limited experience in the life of being a domesticated riding horse. You know, if he was one of those horses that as a 3-year-old, he started going to putt-putt dressage shows, and he got dragged to hunter paces again and again and again, I think I might think differently about it, but he really is very short on experience in that respect. So considering that he's going to be a rock star someday, why risk causing a problem by moving up?
Mentally or physically, right? Yeah.
Ugh, fine. You're right.
I'm sorry.
And let's not forget that you were almost at the yellow card level there on the cross country the other day.
That's true, but I think he was exuberant and liked it. Yeah, you're right, though. I feel like I could have had a better bit. You know, I was like, oh, all right, enough about me and my problems. But yes, it's interesting. It would be interesting to find out, like, when, like on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page, when do you move up a level? When do you jump higher? When do you take the next step? What is the cue to you?
And we've all seen those people who have done it too quickly, right?
Yeah.
Because usually they're right. Yellow carded at some point. You know, that, or they're
that's
just
they
horses.
They created the yellow card.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should have got a yellow card last time.
Yeah, and yeah, see, that's why I was kind of that way. And I understand about what you're saying, too, about the horse maybe backing off a little bit if the jumps were higher, or it could go the other way. He's like, oh, these jumps are higher. Now I have to put more into it. So it could go one of two ways there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you're right. Fine. Now my stomach
hurts. We ruined her whole weekend.
It's just when I talk about, like, I mean, I can joke about stuff all the time, but when I talk about, like, internal stuff that actually is really weighing on me and really means something to me, I, like, get really kind of nervous about talking about it. I don't know. I like to put on this, like, I love to tell stories and stuff, but when it's like I actually am talking about something kind of important to me, I get a little clammy. You know, like my hands are sweating right now.
You know how we can fix that?
Let's do it.
I say pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
It's that time of the week where our listeners submit really bad ads, usually from Craigslist and now Facebook. And in Facebook's case, now it's really clever, really bad ads. And we give away prizes once a month at the end of every month. We just pick names of people who have submitted really bad ads during the month. We just do it at random, and those people win prizes. And Jennifer's going to tell us what this month's terrific prizes are.
We've got two prizes this month. We've got a Redmond Equine gift pack. Woohoo! It's the heaviest prize you're going to love to get. Redmond Rock is the perfect way to satisfy your horse's instinct for natural salt and minerals. More than 60 minerals, just the way nature made them. With a taste your horse will just love. In addition to Redmond Rock and Redmond Rock on a rope, you can try Daily Red Granulated, which is just the rock chopped up. Salt, perfect for adding to feed. And Daily Gold for digestive health. And they also have First Aid for Horses, a natural healing clay for treating open wounds. And here's the kicker. We're all trying hard to reduce our carbon footprint aspect of our lives. So why are you buying salt from Himalaya? Really? Get Redmond Salt. It is mined right here in the good old US of A. You can find out more. Just type into your search bar, Redmond Equine. And then, of course, we've got a $50 gift card from Kelly Herd Jewelry. Woohoo! Kelly Herd Jewelry offers fine equestrian jewelry, including beautiful necklaces, earrings, pendants, and bracelets of gold and silver set with fine gemstones. And they have wonderful wedding engagement sets, and they're stunning. Woohoo! Each piece of Kelly Herd Jewelry is finely crafted with every attention to detail and quality. Make your choice and know you're getting the best. Kelly Herd Jewelry can be found at fine equestrian retailers locally and online. You can check them out at kellyherdjewelry.com.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. I got to tell you, it's become a thing, Jamie, with, you know how many podcasters we've had coming in here to visit the studios and we make them do really bad ads? I just noticed this morning that one of the podcasters mentioned it. It's become a thing now to get to do really bad ads with us in the podcast community. It's a thing.
Well, y'all are welcome. Come on in.
All right. First one's you.
All right. Rachel Wallace sent this one in and requested that I read it in a Southern accent. I don't know where it's from, but we'll just go with, you know, South Georgia. This is a horse for sale ad. Thank you, Rachel.
This has to be from horse. South. Looking at it.
Does it? Yeah. Oh, okay. I don't read anything before they're presented to me. So when I'm reading them, I'm reading it for the first time, just so you guys know. Horse for sale. Trumpsta. Is that like after Donald Trump? Trumpsta? Trump, S-T-A. Trumpsta is in a paddock condition, but he's as reliable as your pop's 59 Ford. Park him in a field for 12 months and impress your friends when he fires up on the first try and runs smooth as a $50 bottle of scotch. Trumpsta is not for complete beginner, though. Y'all got to know at least which pedal is the brake and which is the gas. Because they both work real good, whether you press them on purpose or not.
kids can jump on him when he's not moving. If that last bit was implied, please go to the top of your screen, click the back button, and move on to another ad. He's 16 years old, so he's legal, and at 15 hands, he ain't neither too tall nor too short. And he's a Galden of many years, so that makes him even cooler. $200, $2,000. He's negotiable. That's a good ad.
That's a really good ad, actually.
That's a good bad ad. Y'all got to know.
Y'all
better know which pedal's brake and which is gas. Because he going to tell you if you hit it, whether you like it or not.
That was my favorite line in the whole thing. Oh, that's funny. That's good. All right. Carly, who's a neighbor of yours out there, who I actually get to see next week when I'm in Arizona, sent this one in.
This I found on the Tucson, Arizona Craigslist. Free livestock guardian dog, Elgin. Chicken, duck, and lamb killer. About 6 months old. That was it. It's a guardian dog, but it kills what it guards. I don't get it.
What?
Oh, bye.
I heard it. I was like, killer, but it's a guardian. Okay, now that's the ad. That's the ad. Good job, Carly.
I don't know what it's guarding, but there you go. And now we know why it's for sale.
If you got neighbors and they get too loud with their animals and they got roosters crowing and ducks quacking, y'all want this dog.
Well, you better watch out. That guardian dog might have been bought by your neighbors.
Oh, well, that's true. If it's bought by my neighbors, they're going to the next house because they got about 10 million sheep, ducks, pig, goats, everything.
Yeah, they kind of make you look like you don't have any animals.
Oh, can I just tell you what happened at this spring? Every time I'd walk out, like they got maybe 3 sheep, a ram and 2 sheep like 4 years ago. And then the ram and 2 sheep each of the 2 sheep had babies. And then those 2 sheep had babies. And then each of those
now
2
we have
sheep.
A flock.
It's like sheep math, like chicken math. And so now there's probably 20 sheep next door. They breed like sheep. And so this spring, about all 20 of them had babies.
Oh,
all of
no.
them had 2. And every time I would walk outside, there's new babies. And there's new babies. And then there's new babies. And finally, I saw my neighbor, who we don't really speak. And I said, yeah, you got a lot of new babies over there. And she's like, it's so weird. Every morning I just come out and there's a new bunch. And I said to her, I go, you do know how that happens, right?
You did not ask that.
Of course I did. Like, you do know how that happens, right? There's a big ram out there. And it's like, oh, I just say the incest that's going on. Gross. I don't even think about it. But I'm like, you do know. And she's like, kind of rolls her eyes and walks away. They hate me. Like, just in case you weren't clear.
I got to say, though, is there anything
that's not
cuter
Jesus,
than a lamb?
They oh, my God. They're
things.
So cute.
They really are.
They're the cutest things ever. Yeah, that's why I don't say anything, because I just love looking at them. Every spring, there's like a billion babies. And there was only 2 acres next door, so eventually they're going to run out of room.
Well, if they need a guard dog. So anyway, Kendra sent the following one in. My daily Winnie today, Kendra. Registered Facebook ad. Registered mayor, $4,000 in Rochester, Alberta, Canada. Due to unforeseen circumstances, have to sell mayor. 2008 registered experienced rider only, been used for reining, has been started on Heel-O-Matic.
Do I need to explain to you what a Heel-O-Matic is?
Yeah.
Okay. So, oh my God, I live in Arizona. That's how I know this. Heel-O-Matic is a cow that is like an automatic, and they tow it behind a four-wheeler or something like that.
Yes.
And the legs go out and in, and the back legs
it's
go out and out
cow.
And out. And it's imitation cow. So they practice roping on, it's called a Heel-O-Matic. And so you can practice being a header or a heeler with the Heel-O-Matic. How'd I do?
That's pretty good. I didn't know that. 14.2 hands bend with blue roan stallion for the last month. So
all right, hold
we
on.
Have a mare.
Hold on.
That's been hanging around with the Blue Roan Stallion for
registrated
the last
mare, not just any mare.
Not just any mare.
Not just any mare.
And you're going to have a registered baby here in about 11 months. So just a warning that that's what they're telling you.
She's been with the stallion, but I don't think she's pregnant. She's probably fine.
She's fine. Nothing happened.
And he's real polite. I mean, he ain't got no sense about him. He got, you know.
Now, they didn't say if the Blue Roan Stallion was registered because, you know.
That's a really pretty mare, though.
It is really pretty.
The Blue Roan baby would probably be really pretty, yeah. Except for we haven't seen the Blue Roan Stallion. Why wouldn't you even post what the stallion looks like? This could be a baby daddy. She might be pregnant.
She is pregnant. That's the guaranteed. All right, Laura sent the following one in. Where was this from? I don't know, so here we go.
Appaloosa Mare, $750, Chester, Virginia. I rescued this precious girl from a slaughter auction, as well as three others. She was so thin she could barely stand, space period. She's about 3 years old and absolutely beautiful, space period. She's like a magical horse that changes colors. In the winter, she gets a white coat with pink legs, mane, and tail. Summer, she's all pink, but when she is wet or sweats, she turns a blue-purple, and her hidden Appaloosa spots on her skin show up pink. She's amazing. She's still in winter coat, but it's coming off.
My Little Pony come to mind.
Fast.
Oh my God.
Her Appaloosa
unicorn.
Spotting on body is on skin. She is beautifully put together. She's ready for her forever home. She needs to be broken. She is still shy in some cases, but incredibly humble and sweet, space period. Not a mean bone in this girl, space period. I've taught her to wear a halter and lead, space period. She is still a baby, space comma. Now she needs professional training to turn this girl into anything you want. I want to see her go to a wonderful home devoted to her, space period. She's been through too much in her short life, space period, and asking this price for her to ensure she never ends up in a place like that auction again. Price is firm, space period. This girl is beautiful and still growing. No periods at the end.
Repetition is funny. Laura, that was awesome. That was awesome.
Now, we have First to thank all, the people for rescuing the horse, but boy, they spent a lot of time talking about what a magical unicorn My Little Pony it was.
Well, there's really not much else to say.
Rainbow
like,
Bright.
This thing
rainbow
is fancy
bright.
Space period.
It's
Rainbow Bright space period. I'm going to have that in my head all day.
Space period.
Y'all have a good day, space period. Space comma. That was awesome. The next one is our trailer of the week. International trailer would make a great project trailer. Has big axle, sturdy, but needs much TLC. I don't even know what the hell I'm looking at. It's not even a trailer.
It's not a trailer.
It's like some sort of rounded front covered in grass. There's like wooden sides that like you could kick through. You
what makes it an international
through.
Trailer, by the way?
Maybe that's like the brand. I don't know. And then there's no sides or roof.
No,
and
it's
there's
a convertible.
Just the like metal. This is the trailer that they trailered the horse in, the horse with the flying tail.
Yes. In that TV show we were talking about earlier in the week. This is the trailer right here. It probably
that's
was the trailer.
What,
it's old enough.
That's what they should sell it as. Be like, you know what? This is huge, huge collector's item. Yes. This is the trailer that was in the movie The Horse with the Flying Tail.
Yep.
Because that movie was filmed in the 40s and 50s, and this is what they drove around. And this is from that era. It's that trailer.
My next one is from Linda. Five-year-old, $6,500 in Austin. Is that Minnesota? Very nice. What's that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Very nice, laid-back horse beginners have rode her. This young mare is definitely not herd, H-U-R-D, sour. She goes out alone or in groups. Doesn't mind horses racing around fast around her. She will just keep walking along, will lead or fallow the group on trails. Ropes have been thrown off her, no care. Ropes have been thrown off of her, no care.
You actually even gave them kind of some extra because words were misspelled that you just pronounced because you're just your brain. That's what's hard about reading these ads where the spelling is bad. Well, your brain just corrects things, you know,
like autocorrect syndrome. Yeah.
Yeah. is autocorrect in your brain. Thanks, Linda. Charlotte sent this one. And by the way, did I say that the trailer was sent in by Misty? I don't know. I just want to make sure she got credit. Charlotte sent this one in. Again, these are the people that send them in, not the people that write them. Barn manager / trainer looking for responsible employer. Okay. I've been to a few rodeos, and these buckles on the wall are a little tarnished. However, I possess the hard-earned savvy that comes from years of stall mucking, stupid colt handling, witchy mare whispering, and broken pipe fixing in the winter that any successful equine operation needs. I can spot a colic a mile away. I know an abscess when I see one. I can take care of both without a desperate text to the vet, owner, or my life coach. I'm 47 years old and I can't be cleaning.
Okay, I like the life coach line there. That's pretty good.
I'm 47 years old and I can't be cleaning 20 stalls anymore. I can give shots, worm, and I got a degree in equine management back when you didn't need a 5-figure loan to pay for college. I know my beep, shh, but I'm limited in the physical department. I dare anybody to give me a shot. You will not be disappointed. I've got the knowledge, just need to be managing soft, bright-eyed, tethered to their cell phone 20-somethings instead of doing the grunt work. The kind that develops crusty wisdom and calluses that makes for good horsemen. If you're the sort of operation that appreciates the value of a classic and is willing to pay for it, drop me a line and we'll meet over a shot.
Do you picture him as about 85 years old?
I'm sorry. I'm like, when did 47 become 85?
I just picture him as being 85 years old the way he wrote this.
And like, yeah. I'm almost 40. I imagine, like, if you guys,
if you're a cowhand for a living, you're twice your actual age, right?
You're right.
Oh, that is true. You know, she's got a good point.
He's a 94-year-old man.
Oh, what was the movie with the old guy? They went out herding cattle. That's what I'm picturing.
City Slickers.
That's what I'm picturing, is the old guy in City Slickers. That's what
he's curly.
He's curly. That's right. That's what I was picturing right there. I was looking at this and going, damn, I'm older than he is.
Well, I was like, when he said 40s, I'm like, 47?
Apparently got injured, though, with all of those crazy babies, because he can't clean stalls anymore.
This guy, you're like, okay, come for an interview, meet me at the farm, and he gets out of the car and he's in a walker.
I think he's just going to be pointing and saying, do this, do that. Oh, well.
Lisa sent in the next one. Bless his heart. That's all you had to say. Bless his heart.
I do. I hope he gets a job.
Hi, guys.
Lisa, send in the next one. Sorrel quarter horse mare, $1,000 in Pineville, Missouri. I have a sorrel quarter horse mare. It's all one sentence. I have a sorrel quarter horse mare that's 16 years old. She is fantastic. Trail riding horse. It's my granddaughter's horse. She thinks it's time to move on to a Dodge Ram truck. So we are selling her.
Sick of those damn horses.
I have both. I'm just saying.
Why do you need a Dodge Ram truck?
Are they selling the Ram truck or are they selling the granddaughter?
I got to wonder why the 16-year-old granddaughter needs a Ram truck if they're selling the horse. I don't know.
You're right. Is the mare 16? Is the daughter 16? And are they selling the horse, the truck, or the girl?
I don't know.
I'm very
punctuation
confused.
People.
That's
punctuation.
Why they need punctuation.
Stacy sent the following one in. Horse for sale or trade. Fantastic gelding. No bite and no kick. Completely broken. Will trade for completely broke horse under 5 years with natural speed that doesn't need to be urged to go all of the time. Must be natural speed, not a horse that goes fast because he's scared. Also have saddle for $75. So this no bite, no kick gelding is a plug, and you can't get that horse to move for nothing. That's what she's saying.
Or he's a runaway.
Scare him.
But why are you?
Unless you scare him.
Well, the reason I said plug is we'll trade for completely broke horse under 5 years with natural speed that doesn't need to be urged to go all of the time. So that's why I assumed that the one she has now needs to be urged to go all of the time.
That's weird. I don't get it. I don't get it.
But it must be natural speed. At first, I thought, well, is there somebody behind her with a, poker? I didn't know.
Well, like, how old is your horse that you're selling it and you want something under five? And I'm sorry, is any horse that's under five completely broken? And does anybody else cringe when somebody says a horse is completely broken?
Broken. I can handle broke, but broken for some reason goes across the line.
It really hurts my heart. Yeah. Go ahead.
All right.
Betsy,
all right, last one.
Sent
Betsy.
This one in. No, all she did was, it's Betsy. That's all
I
we
heard
know.
This one, and you're going to like this one.
Hi, I've got a bad ad for you. This is Betsy from Pennsylvania. Got a Craigslist ad from Thomasville, Pennsylvania. Says, black gelding, $400. This is Jax. Jax stays fat on grass. He can be out 24/7, but he stalls fine. Jax requires no special maintenance. He is broke. I have taken him on many trail rides, but he doesn't know anything fancy. Just kind of knows how to go forward, stop and turn, and go faster or slower. Sometimes he takes a little coaxing. Yes, I should have trained him better by now, but I just didn't have the time. He's not spooky. It's in the water and will follow another horse on the trail all day. I like him. I think Jax is a cool little horse, but he is occasionally aggressive. I've not pinpointed what causes this. I think mostly it's just pushover people let him push them around, and then it escalates as he has not tried to bite me. He's made snarly faces at me and threatened me, but I've always put him in his place, so he's never actually tried anything. Now, Jax's breed is unknown. I bought him as a Tennessee walking horse, but no one believes that's what he is. He's very smooth, and you can get him doing a float shuffle type thing that makes you feel like you're gliding when you're out on the trail and sometimes in the ring, but I don't know what the technical term for it is. I thought he was just some kind of gated, but the people seem to think different. He does not move like any other horse I have ever owned, and I'm sure he's some kind of something. But every time I try and capture this on video, he doesn't do it. So, he is what he is, a cool little trail horse, and you can buy him and fix him, or at least make him behave towards you like I did and tell everyone you tamed a demon pony, which is fun. He's around 10 years old and 14.2 hands. Sheds out to be black, black. Very pretty boy when he sheds his winter coat. I've bought him back once, so I'll probably buy him back again if it doesn't work out or work something out with you. He's not ever taken off, bucked, or reared, or acted up at all under saddle. He ties, trailers, bays, lunges, all that stuff. Please do not contact me about Jax if you are under 18, plan on having him handled by children, are a beginner, or are easily intimidated. Please do contact me about Jax if you have several years working with horses, like a horse with a little attitude, and want to give this adorable bipolar pony a shot. Thanks.
Oh my God. Yeah, I made a couple of notes.
Okay.
Whenever somebody is telling you about their horse and then they say, but then here it comes. Like, here, like, he's this, but he does this. The sentence in here, don't know what kind he is. And then later on, she says, he's some kind of something. And then later on, she says, he is what he is. Like, what?
Oh, he's, and she's took him back once. Guess what, lady? You're going to be taking him back again, because the reason she had to take him back is he bit the person's face off.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, he's a biter. That's what he is. He attacks people. And that's
I could have trained him, but I just didn't have time.
Didn't have time. And
I just didn't
I
have
really
time.
Like my face. So
I didn't have time. I'm scared of him, basically. We'd like to say also submitted Misty, Caitlin, Charlotte, Tammy, Aaron, Jody, Beth, and Matt. And we do appreciate it. We may work them into the next week if we need more.
I do want to let Betsy know, too, that just sent in that ad. Thank you for reading that. It was well done.
But it was awesome.
You called that in, so we don't have your email address. Send that to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. So if you win a prize, we can get a hold of you. So
yeah. We're going to be like, Betsy.
Betsy wins.
Betsy.
Betsy. Come out of the woodwork, please. So you're heading out real quick. You're heading out this weekend to your new home. future new home?
Well, we're gonna head to Oklahoma tomorrow and go look at the property and kind of measure off some stuff. We've got the driveway built, so we're trying to measure off where the house is and where the barn's gonna go, and then trying to decide on what barn. Oh my God! Like I said, first world problems. But
is there a goal in mind of a date to actually like move?
You know, it's so dependent upon the adoption.
Oh yeah.
So okay. I mean, Chad retires in a year from the Air Force, which is why we're staying here in Phoenix, because he commutes to the airlines. So confusing. So he will be an airline pilot after he retires from the Air Force. He's now full Air Force. So all of you guys that get on American Airlines and look for Chad, he's not there until next year. He's taking a year. He's turned in military duty orders, and so they have to let him go finish his military career.
But he'll still have his job then with American?
But he still has his job with American, yeah. So you guys can rely. All you guys flying American, they go, I'm looking for Chad. He's not there. I'll let you know when he's back.
However, if you see an airplane going over at about Mach 12, that'll be Chad.
Yes, that's him. Yeah, really low, blasting really loud. That's
really
him.
Fast, yeah.
Really fast.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad you're getting to do that. And we'll be talking to you from Oklahoma next week.
Yeah, that's right. I'll be in. Sorry, I kind of spaced out there. So I will be coming at you from Oklahoma on Monday. I'm not sure what flight. This is what's really fun about actually having a husband that works for the airlines. So we're like, you want to go this weekend? He's like, okay. And then it's like, where are the flights? I don't know. Let's look. Okay. There's some empty seats on this one. Okay. Maybe we'll go. And then coming home, it's like, when are we going to come home? I don't know. We'll look at the flights. It's really fun.
Well, then I get to see you next week. End of next week, next Friday's show, actually, we'll be doing it from the American Horse Publications Conference in Scottsdale.
Can I just tell you that my friends asked me to go to lunch next Friday, and I was like, I can't. I'm going to be in Scottsdale for work. And they're like, you're going to Scottsdale? Because I don't go to Scottsdale.
No, you have this thing about
Scottsdale.
I'm not Scottsdale.
A Scottsdale type girl.
And you're going twice. Like,
oh, you're going to Scottsdale? I'm like, for work. It's a work thing. They're like, what kind of my friends that are military friends, they have no idea what I do. They're like, you work? I'm like, no, don't worry about it. How can you be training horses in Scottsdale? I'm like, don't worry about it.
And you're going twice. You're going to come over. We're going to do the show from there next Friday. And then we're going to the awards banquet.
Yes.
We are one of the two finalists directly against Debbie Laux from Horsemanship Radio.
Going down, Debbie.
I told her that yesterday, and she was like, well, Debbie, she is so nice that she said, well, at least the Horse Radio Network wins either way. And I was like, you're going to win. You interviewed Priscilla Presley. Yeah, so
we interviewed Leslie.
Yeah, we had Leslie. You had Priscilla. So, I mean,
our show is Leslie, she was Priscilla. There's like, and I listened to it yesterday. The Priscilla. Yeah. It's so amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so amazing.
Yeah,
that's Elvis's freaking wife.
We're screwed.
Yeah. And so it was so good listening to her. Just
although
talk
we
about
had
Elvis.
Leslie talking about Lady Martha. I mean,
it was funny.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, if we win, you're going up to give the speech.
Yeah,
do you
I'm
have
not
a
doing it. You're doing
plan?
It.
And I said, Glenn, there's something I learned a long time ago about award shows. Be brief and forgettable. Be brief and forgettable. Because if you're too long, nope. And if you people remember you, it's because you like fell on the stage or something. I'm going to Jennifer Lawrence that whole thing.
Yeah, she's never forgettable, though. She is never forgettable.
I do really, really hope that Debbie wins.
I kind of do, too, because it was such a good episode and she's such a good host. Either way, Horse Radio Network wins, though. So
yeah, there was a bunch of people that got nominated, that submitted. And
there
was
10
from
podcasts.
All over the media podcasting world those are the two that got picked.
It's great. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate it. We'll be back Monday morning. Have a terrific, safe weekend with your ponies.
Yeah, see you guys. Spay, neuter, geld. Have a good one.